Last Sunday we started I didn't know it was going to be a series. I'm not sure what it's going to be. It's just going to be teaching the Word of God. And we started on the subject, the God of all comfort. And I don't know about you, as we said last Sunday, I think everybody needs some kind of comfort. Amen? And it varies from time to time. But I don't just mean comfort when someone passes away or comfort whenever we have major problems. I mean, most of the time, I need comfort all the day long in my life because of the circumstances and situations that we all go through. Sometimes it's relatively easy, but most of the time for Christians, it's not too easy. It's fairly difficult because of the spiritual warfare that we're in. And as I said last Sunday, I've had a lot of people, or several people, come to me over the years. I've been in the ministry for over 60 years now. And for the benefit of some of you, I told somebody the other day I was 80 years old, and my daughter looked at me and said, "Dad, you're not 80 years old. You're 84 years old." I said, "Okay, I'll stand corrected. Thanks for reminding me." Anyway, we all need peace. And we need comfort. And I just wanted to say it's very difficult to have peace if we don't have comfort. I was thinking this morning, actually I've been thinking a couple of times this week when it was so cold, I came in from outside and I didn't leave my heater on or something happened and it was cold and I was cold and I went down and I went to sit into my lazy boy chair, and someone maybe years ago gave me some kind of a throw. It's about 7 feet long, so I can throw it around my shoulders and it comes down over my knees and whatever. And so, being cold, I went and sat down in my lazy boy chair and pull back and pull that throw over me. And what a comfort it was to all of a sudden go from being cold to being warm. And I thought about that. There's not just cold out here in the physical realm. There's cold out here in this world system in which we live, in the spiritual realm, and there's a whole lot of people cold, and they're shaking, but they don't really understand why. And so our purpose, and the purpose that God sent His Son into this world, was so that we would understand that this world is a cold place. It's a good place also, amen? But when Adam and Eve failed, the control of this world system passed over to who the Bible calls the God of this world, who's Satan, and he's trying to do his best to fill the world with death. Death didn't come through God. It comes through Satan, who's the God of this world. Everything you see in this world, if you've ever taken time to notice, is under the control of death. Cells die, grass dies, flowers die. Everything you see dies, has any kind of life. Is that right? Am I telling you the truth? I mean, that's a reality. And I want you to know that God so loved the world that He sent His Son into this world. So everything that is dying and dead can be made alive and can be quickened by the power of His Holy Spirit so that we can understand what life really and truly is. And once that happens in our lives and we become a new creation by the power of the Spirit of God working in our lives through His Word, you can't be saved without His Word, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. That's why when the Word is spoken, there's a phenomenal supernatural power that is associated with it, that when we respond to that by faith, we're not really knowing or understanding, but when we respond to that Word by faith, there's an experience that we have in our spirit beings that we can't even explain. Y'all here this morning? And I hope you've had that experience. If you haven't, you need to have it. And as has always been my purpose, because there's so many religions and different religions in this world, I wanted to tell you that experience doesn't come, and I want you to be certain about this, that I don't have any reason not to tell you the truth. I don't have any reason to lie to you. I'm telling you because it happened to me, that it is a truth and it is a reality. And when someone, as the Bible says, and as God said in His Word, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so, not really understanding what was going on, and all the religious confusion in the world, and what I want to tell you, that experience is not religion. It's not this church or this religion or that religion. It is a relationship. It's not religion. It's a relationship. And it's a real relationship that happens not necessarily to us in the physical realm, but it happens in the spiritual realm. And in the spiritual realm, when it happens in us and our spirits, because as the body without the spirit is dead, so works without faith is dead also. The Bible teaches us, amen. Out of the thousands of funerals or hundreds or whatever it is that I've preached over the many years, funeral services, I tell the people, to those that are Christians, that the body that's in the casket here, and generally it's open so people can come by and see that there's no life there. The reason there's no life there is because the body without the spirit is dead. We're spirit beings. We live in a physical body, and the Bible calls it a tent. Now, some of this may be repetitious, but I feel like I need to say this morning. Amen? So everybody can understand what we're talking about, because the comfort that we're going to have that comes from God comes through peace. And the Bible teaches us that the peace of God passes all understanding. In other words, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, it says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. The peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen? And also in Colossians 3:15, it says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. So even after we become Christians, and when we're born again by the Spirit of God, as Jesus told the most religious man in the world in the Bible, a minister, a prophet by the name of Nicodemus, man of God, Jesus told him, except you be born again, you can't even enter the kingdom of God. And so we don't get that born again experience through a religion. We get it through a relationship with God. And we can't make it happen. He has to make it happen. You can't birth yourself into the kingdom of God any more than you birthed yourself into this world. So that's why we want to talk about, and have been talking about, the God of all comfort. And I'm going to read to you here from 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We did a whole study on this last Sunday. I'm not going to go through the whole thing. I just want to read a few verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. All of you that have had an experience with the Lord, aren't you glad God had mercy on you? It's only by His mercy. Verse 4, the God of all comfort, verse 4 says, who comforts us, who are believers, who've had an experience with God and been born into His kingdom, translated out of this kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son, which is the kingdom of light, who comforts us in all of our tribulations. So, I'm not going to tell you that you're not going to have problems after you become Christians. You may even have more problems. That doesn't sound like a good invitation to get people to be saved, does it? Of course, you don't realize you have more problems until you grow a little bit. Because when you're born again, and when you're born in this world and you're born again, it's the same thing. You start out as little babies in Christ, and you have to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And God has given you a church and a body of believers and fellow Christians who are to help you, encourage you as you grow in the grace and knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, so you can grow up and be able to encourage and help somebody else. That's what this is all about, folks. That's what the church is all about, supposedly. Supposed to be. He comforts us in all of our tribulations. And the reason he does that is, look at verse 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, that we, those of us who are Christians and have had that experience, because he has comforted us, we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So the only way I can bring, or you and we as believers can comfort anybody, is we have to have the comfort of God and the peace of God in us, so before we can comfort somebody else. Amen? Now when we do that, it can be a word, it can be a handshake, it can be a hug, it can be words. I know that sometimes when I've had bad news or something has happened or whatever, which is not good, and we've all had a lot of that lately when our water wells, our water broke in our homes and flooded everything. My neighbor told me a few days ago after the freeze, I don't need my yard. Well, she didn't say it in these exact words. I thought I was watering everybody's yard in the whole neighborhood. My water well broke, and my street was a river, and the dip in the street at the end by the stop sign was a pond you could go swimming in, and water was going everywhere. And I didn't panic. I just said, Lord, what did I do? So the first thing I did is call the city. They come out and turn my house water off. I said, I don't need my house water. I went out and caught them real quick. I said, what'd y'all do? Turn on your house water. I said, turn it back on. I'm not having a problem. Don't you see that water flowing out of that water well right there? Well, sir, we don't mess with water wells. Are y'all with me? I'm just talking about a simple problem. Well, it's not a simple problem. They said, well, do you have a turn-off valve or a switch somewhere? And I said, yeah, I think I do. I went to my control panel outside of the house and flipped the switch and turned off the pump, and the water stopped. Wasn't that simple? So that's what I'm trying to say to those of us that are Christians. Our Christian experience with the Lord is not just a spiritual thing that happens. It is that, but it's more important than that, because it's not just for a religious thing, something that we believe or something that we hope for that's going to happen in the future. It puts us in a relationship with God so that He protects us and takes care of us each day and each minute that we go through our day. And He's not a God way off up there somewhere that we can't reach and we don't know and we don't understand. He's a God right here with us, our bodies, because we are Christians, become the habitation of God through the Spirit, and so we can walk and talk with Him through our days, every day. We don't have to just talk to Him about religious things and talk to Him about anything. I've always pastored churches. I've only been a pastor full-time in this church the last few years. I've worked most all of my life. I started when I was about 12 years old, and I think I quit working when I was 80, 75 or 80 years old, whatever it was. I worked for engineering companies, construction companies, ran projects in refineries and construction all from all over Texas to Oklahoma and other places, Louisiana. I know about pipe fitting, I know about structural steel, I know about labor, I know about, I'm a construction man. I know about engineering. I've designed structures, and I've worked for two or three different engineering firms. I made really, really good money. God bless me. Amen? As a matter of fact, when I quit my job and went because God told me to, the first time I tried to go full-time, or I went full-time actually, I think it was more of a test than anything else. I was working for an engineering company that was making over $100,000 a year. I was what you call an inspector. One time I had my own inspection company and doing inspection in steel and concrete and everything that has to do with construction. And God told me, I want you to quit your job and go full time in the ministry. I got to thinking about probably the best that church could do that I was pastoring at that time was maybe $40 a week. $40 a week is a long ways from $100,000 a year. I was paying for a house, paying for a truck and my wife's car. I'm just sharing with you here this morning, okay? Just, I feel like somebody needs this. Amen. I want you to know how God helps you, not just for religion, but in everything. So I came home and told my wife, quit my job today. She was really excited about that. Not in the right way either, let me tell you. I just bought our youngest daughter, Leslie. We had three children. We have a boy and two daughters, a son and two daughters. And Leslie had just, she'd graduated from school, and I had made it a habit because, you know, I had money. I wasn't hurting. So I bought her a car, brand new car, when she graduated. I said, the only deal is you're going to have to get a job and you're going to have to pay for it. I'm not going to pay for it. Well, 6 months later, she came in and said, Dad, we're going to get married, and I don't need that car. We already have a car. I said, oh, boy, thanks a lot. So now I'm making three car payments and a house payment, and I have credit cards and Visas and MasterCards and, you know, all of these bills. And I've gone from making $100,000 a year to $40 a week. Are y'all with me? Well, we started living by faith. That means the men of the church, bless their hearts, they said, well, Lewis, we can't pay you anything. I said, well, I knew that before ever. I told the Lord that when I was going across the causeway, coming home with everything packed and quit my job. And he told me when I was going across the causeway, Lewis, do you want to depend on the church and those men, or do you want to depend on me? I said, Lord, I want to depend on you. I'm not going to depend on that. I need all the help I can get. I don't see much help coming from that area. Not that they're not good people, but they just can't afford all my bills. So we had, over the next few months, we had people come and had a water bill due. Somebody come with the door, knock on the door and say, Brother Lewis, somebody, God told me to give you this. Pay my water bill. Somebody else would come by and send me some money. Money started coming in and into the church. And they would write on it for pastor. And so the secretary treasurer was giving me the money that came in. First thing you know, I was getting more money coming into the church than the church was getting. And so they decided, we're going to put you on a salary. I couldn't blame them. Only the salary was going to be a lot less than what I'd been getting. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, so along about that same time, Secretary Treasurer called me and said, Brother Lewis, I have a letter here. I'm not going to read it to you. We just need to have a meeting of the board. So we called all of our 13 or however people, many people we had on our board at that time. And we had a board meeting, and he read the letter. And it kind of went like this. An anonymous benefactor. It was from an attorney. An anonymous benefactor wants to pay off all the church indebtedness. We owed over $100,000, about $140,000 on this church. Wants to pay off all the church's indebtedness. Next line. Wants to pay off all of the pastor's debts. His home, his cars, credit cards. This church went completely out of debt. My wife and I went completely out of debt, and we haven't been in debt since. Everything was paid for, just like that. And the Lord said, and I guess that was over, I don't know how much that was, $200,000, $300,000, whatever it was. God said, didn't I tell you I could take better care of you? See, if we just trust God, it's He wants to help us in our lives. It's not just to be saved and get our names written down somewhere in heaven so we can go to heaven when we die. It's so we can have a relationship with God, who Jesus introduced when He came to this earth as our Heavenly Father. Your Heavenly Father. Your Heavenly Father. I came so that you could, He that seen me, they said, well, the disciples said, well, Lord, show us the Father and we'll be happy. He said, well, have I been so long time with you and you don't realize who I am? I am the Father. He that's seen me has seen the Father. So, all of us, whether you, if you're a Christian, whether you realize it or not, you don't just have God as your Father and Jesus as your Savior. You have a Heavenly Father. You have a Heavenly Father. And He's not just a Heavenly Father so that He just takes care of things for you in the heavenly realm. He's a Heavenly Father that takes care of you. Because if you look at Jesus in His life on this earth, who represented God the Father, what did He do? Other than going around teaching the Word, He went around healing. In fact, people would even come touch His garment, they would be healed. He went around healing the sick, raising the dead, supplying finances. And He was saying, hey, when you're born again and you have the Spirit of God, you're going to have a Heavenly Father and He's going to do the same thing for you. If you let Him. The question is, will we let Him? Right? We can't make Him. But all we have to do is just say, let it. We let Him. In fact, when He says, cast all of your care, when He's talking to your Heavenly Father, is speaking to His children, He says, cast all of your cares on me. I care for you. And as Jesus was on this earth representing the Father, He was showing them, said, consider the fowls of the air. They don't reap. They don't plant. They don't plow. They don't sow. And your Heavenly Father feeds them. Don't you understand? You're a whole lot more valuable than a little sparrow. That's the good news. That's the gospel. That's what the Bible's all about. The last job I had, I was a Title II inspector. Some of you may have heard this before, but I like sharing experiences to show what God can do. And I'm telling you this, not just because He did these because I was a preacher or a minister. He did this because I was one of His children, and He was my Heavenly Father. I worked for an engineering firm. We had, I think the name of it at that time was Intech Engineering. I think it's Golden Associates now, I'm not sure. Anyway, we had civil engineers, structural engineers, instrument engineers, electrical engineers, all kinds of engineers, mechanical engineers. And so when I went to work on this job, they told me there may be some things you're going to run into there, because I probably did, because I was over inspecting things that some of the things I had never really inspected before. Some of them I had, but some of them I hadn't. And they said, you may need us. And anytime you need us, all you have to do, pick up the phone and call our office. If you need a mechanical engineer, electrical engineer, or whatever kind of structure, whatever kind of engineer, we'll put them on the phone with you, and you can tell him the problem, and they'll explain to you what to do about it. And boy, I felt really good. Amen? I was there about a year, a little over. I never had called them for anything. It was fortunate. It wasn't that I was so smart. It's just that everything was ran pretty smooth and took care of everything. I knew a whole lot of things. So I walked in from lunch one day in the conference room, and they said, they're waiting for you in the... I walked into the office, and they said, they're waiting for you in the conference room. So I went in the conference room, and there sat the commander and the OICC, his civil counterpart, engineer, and some other people, and the people that were on a job that I was supposed to be responsible for. And when we were having some issues with it, I didn't even know they was going to call in a meeting. They called them all in to see how to get this problem resolved, and it was a pretty big problem, a big issue. So I walked in the conference room, and I sat down at the end of the table, and everybody else was down on that end and on the side, and I never felt so all alone in all my whole life. And they talked about the problem, pulled out some drawings, they looked at them, and everybody talked and gave their opinions, and then everybody in that whole conference room looked at me and said, okay, how do we fix this? I knew that was coming. And I'd already been praying. Lord, I don't know what to do. You're going to have to help me. You're the creator of everything. You know all about everything. Structural steel, you know about everything. You know everything. You created everything. You're going to have to help me. And all of a sudden, these things started coming to my mind. I started speaking them. And I knew, I don't know if you'll understand this, I knew what I was talking about, but I didn't really know. You know what I'm saying? I was understanding the words, but I didn't really know what that totally meant, if you can understand that. When I got through, everybody folded up the books, got the drawings, walked out of the conference room. I was still sitting there in shock. And they said, that's it. That solves the problem. They thought I was a genius. The Holy Spirit. God's a genius. I was just somebody that he worked through. So I want to tell you, to be a Christian is to have God as your Heavenly Father. And it's real simple, because He has mercy on you. He has mercy on all of us. And He wants to help you, not just with your spiritual needs and your peace and your comfort and joy and your happiness and all of the things that we experience in this life, all the ins and outs and ups and downs, but He wants to help you with everything. He'll help you with your job. Any of you ever raised teenagers? He knows how to take care of teenagers. I did a lot of praying about my kids. Amen. An old lady called me one time. Pastor Cowan, do you know what your kids are doing? I said, no, ma'am, I don't have any idea what my kids are doing. Well, they're running around with the wrong crowd. I said, ma'am, if you know any kids that are running around with my kids, tell them to please get away from them. They're not running around with the wrong crowd. They are the wrong crowd. And I wasn't joking. They say the PKs, preacher kids, are the meanest kids in the whole town, right? I think my kids are trying to live up to that. Amen? What I'm trying to say is, God so loved the world. That doesn't mean He loves this globe of material that's floating around out here in space. That means He loved the human beings, us, that means He loves you. For God so loved the world, that means He loved people. He loved us so much that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Not only would we have everlasting life, but we would have God to be our Heavenly Father, who would be the God of all comfort, and the God of all peace in our lives, and could help us with any kind of a problem, and knows the right answer. Amen? Yes, sir. And supplies our needs according to His riches in glory. Not according to our riches. Because generally, if we're going to follow Him, we're not going to have a lot of riches. We're not going to have a lot of wealth, but He's going to take care of us. Amen? And He does. In miraculous ways. I could tell you some things. Well, if I told them, you probably wouldn't even believe what God did. And again, and does. And wants to do. Because He loves us. So, I got away from my scriptures. I just started talking to you because even Christians, you're going through problems. We all going through troubles. Comforts us in all of our tribulation. He is our consolation when we're afflicted, when we're perplexed, when we're depressed, we're hard-pressed on every side. We have sorrow. We're suffering. We have troubles. Many times the Bible talks about, as Christians, that we through much tribulation enter the kingdom of God. Acts 14:22. These things, John 16:33. These things have I spoken unto you, Jesus said, that in me you might have peace. In the world you're going to have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Be of good cheer. I've learned, in spite of the tribulation, I just cast all my cares. There's been many times that I've just, in fact, it's become with me, I get up every morning and I usually am up around 5:30, 6 o'clock most of the time. Sometimes I get lazy and lay in bed. Anybody else do that? Anyway, when I get up normally, I just say, Lord, this is our Father. This is the day that you've made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. And if a problem comes, I say, Lord, I can't handle that. I can't take care of it. Please take care of it. Sometimes He takes care of it just like that. Other times, I have to let, as He tells me, just be patient. Just be patient. And so, I have learned over the years to tell people that patience is faith in action. You understand that? faith. If you have faith, if we have faith to believe that God's going to supply our need and take care of us, and He'll tell us how He supplies our needs, He may tell us what to do about that need so it can be met, or He may have somebody else take care of that need for us. We don't know, but I just have to trust Him. Faith means to trust. It means I trust Him. I put all of my weight on Him. I depend on Him. I expect Him to take care of me because He gave me His word that He would take care of me. I just don't tell Him when to do it and how to do it. Amen? And that's how we become His children, is we come and we put our trust on in Him and we say, Lord, I can't save myself. I'm hopeless. I'm helpless. I don't know how to be saved. I'm religious. I was religious. I got baptized when I was in church and belonged to a church when I was 12 years old. But I didn't. By the time I was 13, 14, I become the tough guy in the neighborhood, you know. We were all wild as people I run around with. We were all wild as a March hare. I mean, boy. When I quit school and had to bring the papers for my dad to signed for me to go in the military, I never seen such a big smile come on his face in my whole life. So, I'm just somebody just like you. I'm probably a lot worse than any of you ever thought about being. I don't have any doubt I was. Because of the time I was 17, I'd done just about everything, except maybe kill somebody. I'm not sure. I hadn't done that. I was a drinker, a fighter, and a wild bull rider, or whatever term you want to use. God changed my life. And all I had to do is just come to an altar like this or wherever, and I came to an altar. Because I realized if I died in that condition, I had some near-death experiences. And if I died in my condition, I was probably going to go straight to hell. And I knew it. And all I did was come down to the altar just like this at an invitation like what John's about to give. To let anybody that wants to come to the altar come, give me my opportunity to respond. You can come on, Mary, to the organ. And I didn't know what to say. I just said, God, I need to be saved. If you can save me, please save me. I didn't know what happened to me, but I sensed in my being something happened. And from that day to this, I've never been the same. Have I always lived a perfect life? And I don't lie to you. No. Have I sinned since I've been a priest? Yes. Are you with me? I still have a fleshly body that I live in, and the spirit that is in me from God and the flesh that I was, all of those things that I've done wrong, the enemy can bring back all of those things to my mind and try to tempt me with those and tell me that I'm not worthy to be saved. How could God save somebody like me? Try to fill me with doubt and fear and frustration. And God comes in and says, I saved you from all of that. You belong to me.
And let's everybody stand.
I want to give you, if you're here this morning, every head bowed and every eye closed, please. We give you, if you're here this morning, I want to give you an opportunity to let God be your God of all comfort. Personally, let Him be your Heavenly Father. Let Him be your Savior. Let Him be your friend. The Bible says that the words of salvation are near you, even in your mouth. And if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt won't be saved. For with the heart man believeth into righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. Also, He tells us as Christians, listen, Christians, probably everybody here this morning is a Christian. I don't know. But He tells us as Christians, when we sin, and if we sin, and we will, if we sin, and when we sin, if 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful. He's faithful to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I found out all the things that I did before I was a Christian didn't have anything to do with what I thought was sin of man. It wasn't that they weren't sin, they were, but I found out that pride, jealousy, greed, strife, hate, bitterness, indifference, selfishness, self-centeredness, living for myself. That's what He was talking about that needed to be changed. That's what I needed to be forgiven for. That's why I needed to be a new creature. So, if you're here this morning, we're going to have a dismissal prayer. You want to come to this altar and pray and just do whatever God tells you to do. Come on down. You want somebody to pray with you? We'll pray with you. We have a lot of people here to pray with you. Amen? If you're a Christian, you need to confess sin, they come on. If you're here this morning, God tells you to come for any reason, pray for somebody or whatever. This is your time. This is a response time. Anybody that wants to respond. Come on. God will meet you right here. Amen. Anyone else? Certainty of tomorrow. You don't know how long you're going to live. Father, we come into your presence this morning. Thank you for being here. Thank you for loving us, caring for us. Thank you for the wonderful privilege that we have to share your love and your concern with people, not only just here in this church, but Lord, through our website, we're reaching out all over the world. People that are listening to this message in Africa, in Germany, in Japan, have mail coming from everywhere, have been over the years. Thank you, Lord. That's just awesome. And so we lift them before the throne of grace too, Father, in Jesus' name. Every precious person here this morning, we lift them before your throne of grace, Father. You know where they are and what's going on in their lives. We thank you for them. Thank you for blessing them, strengthening them, encouraging them, helping them. Lord, if it wasn't you, our heart wouldn't be beating. We wouldn't have a breath. When we give our lives to you, we're not really giving anything to you. You gave it to us in the first place. Everything that we have comes from you. So we want to thank you, Father, for everyone here. Bless them, strengthen them, encourage them. We all need your help, your strength, your encouragement in these times in which we're living. And we pray for these here, Father, that are praying for loved ones or praying for themselves or whatever they're here for in this place this morning. We agree with them, Father, and we claim your promise that where two or more agree on earth as touching any one thing that they would ask, it would be done of our Father which is in heaven. So, Father, we pray for them right now, and we agree with them in Jesus' name. And, Father, for those of us who are praying for family members, or loved ones, children and grandchildren, cousins and aunts and nieces and nephews and uncles, we have so many, Lord, out there that, as far as we know, they don't know you. If they died right now, they'd slip out into eternity. If Jesus were to come back right now, they would be all gone and out into eternity forever away from you, Lord. We don't want that. We pray for them, Lord, and claim the promise that, Father, if we pray for them and agree, you would grant repentance. You're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, Lord. We just pray for them and lift them before your throne of grace. We agree with all of these here, Father, today that are praying for people they love and family members and loved ones and people whose names that they know that they're praying for, that they might be saved. Lord, we agree with them in Jesus' name. That they will be saved, that you touch their lives, change them, Lord, as only you can, because you are the only one who can. Deal with them, help them to come to see the truth and the light. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Have a wonderful day. God bless. Take care.